7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson.
Hey there, everybody. We are Pony Cake Sports. Woo! And it's our first live show. And my name's Josh. I'm also here with Tim and Tom. And guys, let's let everybody know what they're in store for.
We are all excited to be here. I'm pumped. It's exciting to do our first live show with WBLZ. Tim?
Gentlemen, I am excited. And you know what? I want to tell our fans first and foremost, thank you so much for tuning in. And what I want to do is this station is known for having balls, correct?
Correct.
So what I want to be known is I am going to put every other show on WBLZ on notice and let them know that the boys from Pony Keg Sports are here. So do yourself a favor. Go grab a notebook, get a pen, sit down in your chair, crack open a beer, and take some notes because this is going to be the number one show in fantasy sports.
That's one way to start it off, Tim. I enjoy it. I'm excited. Cracking open a Miller Lite. Tom, what are you drinking?
I got a Coors Light.
I got nothing right now. Well, I'm a dud. That's all I can say. So we are going to be talking about fantasy position rankings. We're going to kind of break it down. The big chunk of it that we're looking at is those middle guys, right? Position number or the numbers 25 to like what, 12?
Yeah.
10, that's about what we're looking at. So we got a couple guys. We're starting off with running backs this segment. The second segment, when we come back after the hour, we're going to come back and do wide receivers. So starting off with running backs, let's go ahead and kick it off. Let's just kind of list a couple of the guys that we have. We have number 40, Alvin Kamara. And kind of crazy to think about because in some leagues he's going undrafted. But in all reality, you got to think about Alvin Kamara. You got to think about the Saints and their backfield. He catches ball out of the backfield. That's what he did when he was at Tennessee.
Alvin Kamara or Marshall Faulk? Who are we talking about here?
That's true.
That's who Sean Payton said he was the Marshall Faulk of the league this year, right? Give me a break. What the hell's the matter with that guy?
You have to respect Alvin Kamara's upside, though, in PPR leagues. That's what our rankings are. Look at Travis Cadet last season. 40 receptions on 53 targets, over 281 yards. Mark Ingram had 46 catches as well. Kamara is a better receiving running back than both those guys. Might be a little bold saying that, but I am trusting that. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but this guy has all the agility. His agility metrics are through the roof, and he is going to fill that Darren Sproles, that Reggie Bush role for the Saints that we haven't seen with Drew Brees in a while. And we have seen Drew Brees take it to another level with running backs with the kind of ability as Alvin Kamara. But Kamara's on this list because of Josh.
He is.
The only reason. We didn't have him.
We did not have him, but Josh ranked him pretty high on this list, in all honesty.
I'm a believer.
Which is hilarious because he hated him the most leading up to this season.
Oh, yeah. Listen,
I hate Alvin Kamara.
Gentlemen, I have not met an Alvin that I liked since I met the lead singer of the Chipmunks, okay? I don't like what he brings to the table. He's playing behind Mark Ingram, and he's playing behind Adrian Peterson. In the future, maybe. In the 2017 fantasy football season, has a low impact, in my opinion.
And you know what's funny? I prematurely jumped into all these rankings. I forgot to tell everybody where they can find us. You guys can check us out on Twitter at Pony Keg Sports, at Pony Keg Tom, at Pony Keg Tim. We all have a Twitter. You guys can check it out. Website, ponykegsports.com, all that good stuff. We'll talk about it at the end of the show. And one other group of people that we do want to talk about because they've helped us along the way, CleatGeeks.com. Check them out on Twitter at CleatGeeks. Let them know we're the ones that sent you. They do a bunch of articles, all that good stuff. So we wouldn't be here without their help as well.
They had a Don't Wake Daddy tournament again last week airing live, so make sure to watch them as well.
So that was number 40. Let's go ahead and kind of just hit a couple of these guys here. 39, we have Theo Riddick. 38, we have C.J. Anderson. 37, Kareem Hunt. And 36, Jonathan Stewart.
There's some big-time names pretty late in our rankings. But I really want to talk about Mr. Theo Riddick. Look, last season averaged over 10 points a game in PPR. He missed 6 games, yet he still finished 25th in PPR scoring, which is impressive. The Lions are saying that they are going to be using him more in the red zone. You have to like that. I think we might be a little too low on Mr. Theo Riddick, especially You know, I like Ameer Abdullah. I'm pretty high on him this year, but you never know. He's struggled to stay healthy in the NFL. I like Theo Riddick. I think he should be higher on our list, though.
Yeah, Theo Riddick potentially could be a little bit higher. The guys, you know, a typical Detroit Lions running back, in my opinion. He's very similar to an Ameer Abdullah, almost, in my opinion. Catching the ball in the backfield with Matthew Stafford, they just put guys around Matthew Stafford that he can use. I don't necessarily think he's a guy for the future, but if he can stay healthy and if Ameer Abdullah isn't able to stay on the field, can definitely be a factor. Guys, I want to ask you the two big names on this list that have had monster fantasy seasons in the past, CJ Anderson and Jonathan Stewart. Those are the two that you think, okay, they're not even, you know, starting running backs in most leagues now. Obviously, Stewart has Christian McCaffrey come in, CJ Anderson coming in off of an injury. Do you think either of them have solid fantasy seasons?
I am worried about CJ Anderson. Personally, I like Jay Stu better. I think he's got a more set in stone role. I think he's going to be that goal line back for Carolina. I like that offense in Carolina this year. Denver, I am not a believer in that offense right now. Not really a believer in any of the running backs they have. Anderson hasn't been able to stay healthy. Last season, he averaged his lowest yards per carry in his career. And he missed more than half the season. I don't like that. They brought in Jamal Charles, which really isn't saying much in my opinion. The guy that I really thought would take over for CJ Anderson, Devontae Booker, is hurt. So Anderson might deserve to be higher because he might be the last guy left. I just don't have faith in him, and I won't be drafting him in any leagues.
I actually have CJ Anderson at 33, but he sucks, and I hate him. Jamal Charles sucks. He's old, and he's kind of washed up. And I don't think he's not gonna get enough touches to be warranted in fantasy consideration.
I think the one reason he should be at least considered is all the rumors right now out of Broncos camp are Paxton Lynch has made monster strides to be the starter and that he's going to be the guy this year. In my opinion, if it is Paxton Lynch, if CJ Anderson can be healthy, he's going to get a lot of carries. And listen, someone's going to have to score touchdowns on that team. Yep. It very well could be CJ Anderson.
Let's talk about some of the other guys on the list. We have, we got Paul Perkins at 35. We have Duke Johnson at 34. Adrian Peterson at 33. Eddie Lacy at 32.
I don't really like any of these people. I don't know how else to put it. Paul Perkins, I am extremely low on. I don't like anyone in the Giants running game whatsoever. Outside of the fact of all the receiving weapons that they've added, they have no offensive line whatsoever. You add even an Eddie, you know, as you talked about Eddie Lacy, can he come in under 600 pounds? Nobody really knows. Fat Eddie, the best one there, I would say, is AP, and you know he's technically the second dog behind Mark Ingram. So I'm not looking at any of those guys. If I'm PPR, maybe Duke Johnson.
Duke Johnson, I think it's slam dunk out of those guys. Last season, 72 targets. That's what you like out of a running back in PPR. 53 receptions. They're coming out, the coaching staff right now, saying that he's going to be lined up in the slot as a wide receiver. That's another thing you have to like. You have to expect his targets to go up. You have to expect his receptions to go up. And that means his yards will go up as well. He's still a productive running back as well. He's a 73 rushing attempts, 358 yards last season. Crowell, he is the main dog there in Cleveland, but this O-line is improved, and I'm excited to see Duke Johnson with this offense.
I like Duke Johnson in the fact that the Cleveland Browns have no problem just putting guys in a position where they're going to succeed the most and get the most amount of yards and touchdowns. And you think that that would be an easy concept that every team would use, but that's not the case most of the time. Most of the time they try to, you know, shove it down your throat. This guy's a running back. This guy's a running back. We saw what they did with Terrell Pryor, making him a wide receiver and now being a highly touted wide receiver. You could very well see the same thing with someone like Duke Johnson.
I want to know why you guys are harping on my goddamn list and you guys have Eddie Lacy so high and how he ended up 32 on this list when I didn't even have him ranked at all. It makes zero sense. Eddie Lacy, I don't think he's going to be the guy. He's going to be on the sideline not eating Skittles but cheeseburgers. And you still have Thomas Rawls there. You still have CJ Prosize there. Yes, there's still two guys that can't stay healthy, but either can Eddie Lacy. And that's what his MO is. And I just am not a believer. I don't know why, how Tom of all people have Eddie Lacy at 28. It blows my mind.
I have Eddie Lacy at 28 because I think he's going to be the guy in Seattle.
Idiot. Yeah.
You could say that all you want, but if he stays healthy and is the guy in Seattle, he's going to be a hell of a lot better than 28th in rankings.
Tom hit the nail on the head. And now, granted, to your point, Josh, it's a big if, but if he can stay healthy, he's a top 24 running back.
Yeah.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
We have.
You want a steak dinner bet on that?
Yeah. All yeah, right. We do steak dinner bets here, everybody. And Tim is known not to pay up.
He never pays.
Or he
that's
goes
That's because
down.
I always win. I win every single steak dinner bet. And our first live one, Eddie Lacy, if he is healthy the whole year, will be a top 24 running back.
The one steak dinner bet Tim did, he went to Target and got the little cutlets, a steak that were cut in thirds, and said, here you go, guys.
Hey, listen
Here's
here.
My three
listen
steaks.
Listen here, mofo. First off, we're doing a fantasy football show. You're over there in a Cubs jersey like a schmuck. So don't tell me and, you know, kind of try to come down on me because I go to Target. If I do lose a steak dinner bet, you're getting an Aldi steak, young man. So watch yourself.
Aldi's not bad. I can deal with that. Next up, number 31, we have Spencer Ware. 30, we have Terrence West. 29, we got Samaje Perine. And I will round it out right there. 28, Carlos Hyde.
It's kind of interesting. All three of us are pretty low on Spencer Ware. He's going 61st overall in normal 10-team leagues on ESPN, the four-letter network. So him being 31 on our rankings, a little crazy. Why are you guys so low on him?
You know, I'm concerned with where the Chiefs are. I don't really know what they're going to be. Alex Smith has already come out drafting the quarterback that they did. I don't know if they plan on trying to give him a shot at any point this year. I would hope not, but you never know. And I'm not confident that he's going to be the running back the whole year. The Chiefs and Andy Reid are very good at just utilizing whoever's there, getting everyone involved, and that's how they've been successful. Top-notch defense and kind of whoever has the hot hand that day. I'm not sure that Spencer Ware is going to be someone who can continually be the hot hand for the Chiefs, which is why I have him as low as I do.
Yeah, who knows? They drafted the quarterback of the future. They drafted their wide receiver of the future. They let go of Macklin. They drafted quite possibly the running back of the future with Kareem Hunt. But we forget that Spencer Ware has only been in the league, 3 years now? And or maybe this is his fourth year.
Yeah, because he started off as a fullback.
Yeah, because he sat out a year as well. So, I mean, he doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on his body. So maybe we're not giving him as much credit as he's due. He emulates his game after Marshawn Lynch, but he's not that same type of player, so it's hard to see that. But I still think Spencer Ware is a valuable weapon in fantasy if they don't say, hey, Kareem Hunt, you have a job right away.
Well, and that's the exact point. I think Kareem Hunt, and obviously Tyreek Hill is a wide receiver, but he's utilized in the running game as well. Tyreek Hill being a weapon and Kareem Hunt, a very similar back to Spencer Ware. Spencer Ware is not that three-down running back, you know, just up the middle type of guy. If he was, I think he'd have a much better shot.
Any of the other guys that we just mentioned? We have Carlos Hyde, Perine, Terrence West, any of those guys?
I think we need to discuss Perine and Mr. Carlos Hyde a little bit. We're pretty low on Hyde. He's 28th on our board, and he's going off the board 47.5 on average in a 10-team league. Super low on him. For me, I don't think he's going to be the lead dog in San Francisco. He might start that way, but we are hearing all these rumors about him possibly being cut. He's not getting first-team reps right now. Tim Hightower is beating him out, and we know how Kyle Shanahan feels about our boy, Mr. Joe Williams.
Well, yeah, you look at Carlos Hyde. He's getting drafted as a late third, early fourth-round pick.
Nuts.
And, you know, number 47th overall. But the thing is, I could have Joe Williams or Tim Hightower in the 14th, 13th round. Joe Williams is going to be moving up draft boards with all the talk going around Carlos Hyde, but you can get a Tim Hightower in the 13th round. He's going to be there, and he may put up the same amount of production or maybe a little bit less than Carlos Hyde, and I'd rather have that value and take somebody else in his spot.
I'm the only one, I believe, who had Carlos Hyde as a starting running back. I had him at 24, which obviously puts him as the very last starting running back. I want to just give Joe Williams the job. I feel like I'm much higher on Joe Williams than both of you. Tom's pretty high on him as well. He's there, but you can't deny the facts. The facts are he's put up some pretty decent numbers last year. So I'm still going to give him a starting running back, even though it's the very last starting running back position. Outside of that, I mean, Samaje Perine, I have Perine taking over Fat Rob's job pretty easily. You know, we're, like you said, we're hearing about him being too physical in training camp.
I love that.
That's what you want to hear. You want to hear that about a rookie running back trying to go out there and prove a point. So I'm a big fan of Perine. Hyde is the type of guy that I'm not going to have him as my number two running back unless I already have a stud number one and, you know, a solid wide receiver one.
What do you think Perine's thinking right now? All these vets are, like, complaining that he's hitting them too hard, too physical. Do you think he's like, God damn, my dick is so big right now? Like, he's got to be thinking that, right? Well, he's got to be thinking he's the guy.
To an extent, but I hope, and I don't know really know what the team atmosphere is like in Washington, but I hope there's someone to bring him down to earth a little bit. Listen, it's great that you're doing it, but a lot of these are very low physical contact drills. So it could be a, you know, everyone's going 60 and he's going 100 type of situation. That's not necessarily what you want. I mean, it is great to hear that he's physical. That's fine. But you want to make sure that you have someone who is, you know, able to realize where his team is and when to turn it on and turn it off.
Number 27, we have LeGarrette Blount. 26, Amir Abdullah. 25, Mike Gillisley.
Amir Abdullah, he might be becoming one of my guys. You know, he's been labeled as an injury-prone player. I kind of brought that up earlier when I was talking about Theo Riddick. But in all honesty, he never missed any games in college. He got hurt week 15 of his rookie year and had that freak foot injury week 2 last season in his second year. He's going in his third year. I like Amir. If he can get 200-plus touches in this Lions offense, he is going to be a running back, too, and a high-quality running back, too. His athletic metrics are awesome. I love his spark score. He's an athletic freak. Doesn't have the greatest straight-line speed. But, man, this guy can make people miss tackles. It's amazing.
You know, Amir Abdullah has an opportunity. Like, this is the year I feel like he's coming in, like I said, 90.91, roughly, his overall ADP. He can come out there and shock some people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if he's able to stay healthy all year, he can. You know, he's had a lot of success when he's been healthy. The biggest one to me was LeGarrette Blount being all the way down at 27. I had him highest again at 23, I believe. To me, I just can't. Someone who had so much success last year, even going to a team like Philadelphia that added a lot of weapons in the passing game as well, I can't justify knocking him out as a starting running back. He's proven that he's still around. He's still a valuable asset. There's going to be red zone opportunities. Really, none of those receiving threats in Philadelphia have shown the ability to stay healthy. I don't see how LeGarrette Blount isn't still a valuable number two running back option.
Yeah, plus you got to remember, Ryan Matthews did score 8 touchdowns last year for that Philadelphia Eagles offense, and LeGarrette Blount is a touchdown machine, so it's very true. That is a very strong possibility for LeGarrette Blount. We could be sleeping on him a little bit. But Mike Gillisley right here, the carousel of running backs that they have, I don't know, what are they, like 7 now that they have? James White, Mike Gillisley, they have Rex Burkhead, Deion Lewis. Who else am I missing? I'm sure there's 6 more. I don't even know anymore.
James White.
But there's so many running backs. How can we justify Mike Gillisley being number 25 on our list?
The reason why I have him ranked pretty high is because I think he's taken over that LeGarrette Blount role, that role where we saw Blount have over 1,000 yards and 18 touchdowns. And Mike Gillisley, he's a better running back than LeGarrette Blount is in my eyes. You look at what this guy has been able to do in his limited amount of touches. 577 rushing yards last season on 101 carries. 5.7 yards per carry. I think over his career, he's averaged 5.9 yards per carry. He's an explosive athlete. I don't think he's going to have many receptions, though. That's his one downfall. It's kind of similar to LeGarrette Blount. Blount only had, I think, 7 catches last year. It's probably going to be similar numbers in Philly. That's the reason why I had him kind of lower than a lot of people are drafting him or ranking him. But I like Gillisley just because he's in a high powered offense who's going to score a lot of touchdowns, and he'll be the 4-minute running back for the Patriots used to bleed the clock at the end of a game.
I'm not sold on Gillisley like you guys are. I'm not sure that the Patriots necessarily even wanted him, to be perfectly honest with you. I thought it was more of a trying to get after Buffalo. With that being said, I mean, it's still Bill Belichick. It's still the New England Patriots. They know what they're doing. I am just not positive that Mike Gillisley is going to have that upside to be the 25th ranked. I think he might be closer to 30, or where did I have him? I might have had him a little bit lower than that even.
We're getting to our full starters here. Yes.
Tim, do you not – who do you think is going to take over that blunt role for the Patriots? Or do you think they're just – they're going to change their offense like they do do a lot? Do you just think they're not going to have that powerful running game that they've had in the past?
That's exactly what I think. Okay. I think that they're just going to kind of just say, hey, whoever's there, you're going to see guys – you're going to see Deion Lewis come out and have a big week, and everyone's going to be like, oh, Deion Lewis is finally making that huge step. Mike Gillisley will have a huge game. They're going to rotate. Guys are going to have big games, and it's Tom Brady's show until proven otherwise.
We have a guy that finished eighth last year, rushed for over 1,000 yards, and we have him as our number 24 guy, which would be the last starting running back in a 12-team league, and that's Mark Ingram. I don't know how... and I don't know why he's so low on this list. It's crazy to think about.
The reason he's so low, he's 26th for me. Tim had him lower than I did. But for me, it's just the uncertainty. What kind of role is AP going to have? I think AP is going to have a role. He looks good in camp so far. We'll see if he can stay healthy. But AP has been a freak his whole career. Missed significant time last year and a couple years ago. So you could say he's got fresh legs. And Ingram has been producing crazy numbers, but I think his receptions can go down. Alvin Kamara was brought in to be that Marshall Faulk that Sean Payton wants for that Saints system. And I just really don't know what I'm going to get from any of these Saints running backs, and that's the reason why I had him kind of low in my rankings.
I had him low for the reason. Listen, they didn't bring in Adrian Peterson to – just say, oh, hey, watch Mark Ingram run the football. That's not why they brought him in. They brought him in because he's one of the best running backs of all time. He's had time off for one reason or another. And Mark Ingram and Adrian Peterson are going to have very similar seasons. They're going to utilize each one of those guys to kind of take the pressure off of the other one. You might see a game where Adrian Peterson has 15 carries and Mark Ingram has 8. And then they might flip-flop the week after that. These guys are very, very similar styles of running backs. Now, I'm sure they did bring AP in to try to get Mark Ingram that mentality. But at the end of the day, they're very, very similar. And I feel like their numbers are going to show just that.
Adrian Peterson was brought in to coach up and teach one Alvin Kamara, not Mark Ingram, and not to compete with him. And he's there to be the building block of Alvin Kamara and be the next big thing.
Let me ask you, Josh, you were extremely low.
I hate Alvin Kamara.
That's nonstop. That's all we heard pre-draft. You hate Alvin Kamara. He's terrible. He's the worst. And now you're sitting here like he's the best thing since sliced
bread.
It is
the perfect system for him. That is the only reason why. It's just like if you took Christian McCaffrey and put him in the Saints offense, he'd be my number one rookie running back and be in my top five. Hands down, no questions asked. He'd catch 300 balls.
And Kamara's... way he'd catch 300.
I know, but I'm just
Kamara's a similar player to Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, I mean, they're very similar. They're not... I think Christian McCaffrey is more explosive. I think he's better at running the ball. But I think receiving-wise, they are very similar. And Christian McCaffrey is known as one of the best receivers as a running back.
Alvin Kamara was brought on to play the Darren Sproles role. Darren Sproles had some successful years in New Orleans, but he was never Marshall Faulk. He was never the guy. Alvin Kamara will never be the guy.
Well, Adrian Peterson will teach him well. Next up, number 23, Doug Martin.
Dougie Fresh.
It's pretty high for Dougie. According to the four-letter network, going at 105, which is pretty late. But I really don't think it's super late or way too early for Doug Martin. For me, he's missing the first three games of the year. Last season, we saw a running back miss the first three games of the year and finished third overall. Yeah, Le'Veon Bell is a lot better of a running back than Mr. Doug Martin, but Doug Martin has been able to produce at a high level. He has been able to put up top 10 numbers fantasy-wise. And I think Doug Martin is going to be the guy. He's motivated. The Duggernaut is ready to get rid of that muscle hamster nickname and be the guy again in Tampa Bay and start earning that paycheck.
Let me ask you guys this. If Doug Martin was not missing the first three games of the season, would he be in your top 12?
It'd be close.
No. No, and my reasoning why all those numbers that he put up was when he didn't have much of a team around him. Now the team is, you know, he's an afterthought, really, at this point. With the time that he's missed, with kind of how he's acted since, I don't care what Dirk Cutter says, they're still not extremely happy with Doug Martin. How could they be? He hasn't proven anything yet. The team now is Jameis Winston's team. They have wider. It's Mike Evans' team. It's now they have DeSean Jackson. Now they have O.J. Howard. They still have what the tight end that they've had for a while, Josh. Cameron Brate. They have a complete offense now. He's not the only option in the red zone. Even
it's making America great again. Yeah, by the way, just an FYI.
Perfect. My point to you is he's not the guy in the red zone, and he very well may not be the guy as a running back.
If Doug Martin was not suspended, he would be number 12 in my ranking, so he would be in my top 12. But I think Tampa Bay, they kind of discovered last year, if they want to win a lot of football games, they need to run the football, play good defense. That's what happened at the end of the year. That's why we saw Mike Evans, all his targets and his yards go down. We saw Jameis Winston's yards and fantasy production go down because they understand how to win football games. And Doug Martin is a big part of that offense. They could have cut him and not really have had that much of a cap casualty because of it, but they decided to keep him along. They are playing a little bit of hardball in my eyes, saying Jacquizz Rodgers might be the guy after Martin comes back, but I am not believing it. I'm hoping a lot of other people believe it so he continues to slide down draft boards and I get him drafted as my running back 4.
Jacquizz Rodgers is terrible. I don't care what anybody says.
He's not good.
He's not good. There's a reason why he was let go from his previous team. And, yeah, he's on Tampa, and, you know, he had one game that he had 30 rushes for over 100 yards. He had 26 rushes for 154. And then a couple other games, he was okay, you know. The difference between talent-wise of Jacquizz Rodgers and Doug Martin here are night and day. It's outrageous. Oh, yeah. And then you could still say that they have Charles Sims. I don't think Charles Sims is anybody to worry about to take touches away from Doug Martin. And then they still have Jeremy McNichols that they drafted, I believe, the 5th round. And, yeah, he's all right, but he's going to be a pass catcher out of the backfield. So I'm not worried about it. If he was healthy, or not healthy, but if he was not suspended for the 3 games, I would definitely be having him in my top 12 rankings. No questions asked.
I think even without a suspension, he's best case scenario a top 15. I would not have him as a running back 1 on any team.
Next up, 22, Ty Montgomery.
I like Ty Montgomery. I was the highest person in our group of 3 that ranked him. You know, it was kind of impressive what he did last season. Yeah, he got banged up a little bit, and it was kind of weird seeing a running back wear number 88, the former wide receiver from Stanford. But I really like what Ty Montgomery brings to that Green Bay offense. I like that offense in general. They're one of the best offenses in the NFL, one of the most explosive offenses in the NFL. And this dude averaged 5.9 yards per carry. He might not be the bell cow for the Green Bay Packers, but I guarantee he leads that team for receptions from a running back, which is going to equal a lot of points for Ty Montgomery this year.
It's not even the fact that he might not be the bell cow. He is going to be the cow that they take behind the woodshed and slaughter and feed to the wolves. He is nothing, to be perfectly honest. He's a guy you talk about situation and being successful because he was successful because of Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson. That's why Ty Montgomery was successful. That's it. They could have put in almost anybody else at that point outside of Christine Michael, who obviously doesn't know what side to run the ball to, the left or right. Him and Aaron Rodgers could not get on the same page. If they had any other option, healthy option, that had been with the team and could learn the plays, he would have done the same exact thing as Ty Montgomery. It was a great story. It was a great season. Ty Montgomery will struggle to be a top 30 running back this year.
Yeah, I don't like Ty Montgomery at all. He can, I was going to say die in a fire, but I don't want to say that. I don't want to be that mean, you know.
Tim brought up the only reason he was so successful was because of Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson. He still has both of them, and I'm the biggest freaking Jamal Williams fan There is. I love him. I think he's going to carve out a nice niche for himself in this offense. And I think this offense can supply two legit fantasy running backs who are viable to play each week. I think you guys are underestimating Ty Montgomery as a receiving running back for the Green Bay Packers.
Ty caught people off guard last year.
He did.
People did not expect Ty Montgomery. It was kind of almost the Tyreek Hill effect, almost, where not that he's the same type of player as Tyreek Hill, but people just didn't know what to do with him, and he was always shocking people. He's not the run through the tackles type of running back.
He can be, though.
No, he can't.
And he's gained weight. He's 220 pounds.
So now they're asking him to be something that he's not.
He had one game of over 10 rushes, and I'm sorry, week three, when Burfict comes up to him, you know what he did to Giovanni Bernard in practice? He is going to destroy Ty Montgomery and laugh in his face and then probably get suspended because that's what he
does. Ty Montgomery doesn't play the full season. Ty Montgomery does not end the season on the Green Bay Packers roster because he's going to be injured.
You guys are haters.
Yeah, I don't care. next up, we have number 21, Tevin Coleman. We're already halfway through the show. Pretty crazy to think about.
Oh, yeah.
Or not halfway, but like... Yeah.
Halfway through our running back rankings.
Yeah, running back rankings.
Tevin Coleman, this dude was one of the most efficient running backs last year. Finished 19th overall in PPR. Missed three games, but this dude was explosive. Every time he touched the football, he was explosive for the Falcons. Steve Sarkisian is the new offensive coordinator for the Falcons. He likes to run the football a lot. He likes to throw a lot of passes to the running backs. So that's a good thing for Tevin Coleman. He needs to stay healthy, though. He struggled staying healthy in college. He struggled staying healthy in the pros. But if he could play the 12 to 13 games, he'll be productive. He'll be worth being drafted in fantasy leagues.
So let's get one thing straight here, Tom. Steve Sarkisian may have the title of offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons, but really what he's there for is to get Matt Ryan his waters and make sure that he's warm enough or cool enough on the sidelines. That's all he's there for. Matt Ryan is running this offense. Matt Ryan is the one who would have single-handedly given the Falcons the Super Bowl victory, if not for one Kyle Shanahan deciding that they should pass the ball in the third and fourth quarter. Matt Ryan is the one running this offense, and he loves Tevin Coleman. Like you said, biggest concern with Tevin Coleman, he has some concussion issues, right? That's what you're worried about with him is he's got some, you know, how's his head? Can he play a whole season? Big thing with Tevin Coleman is...
Got that sickle cell.
Yeah, he's got that,
too,
yep.
Right?
How are the Falcons going to utilize him? I know that Devonta Freeman, I believe, is close to a deal. He didn't end up signing a deal yet.
Not yet. Said they're going to pay him.
I know and that will kind of alleviate some of the pressures that this offense is going to feel regardless. But I like Tevin Coleman as well. I feel like this is the perfect spot for him between 20 and 22. Josh is outrageously high with him, in my opinion. You and I are a little bit more down to earth. So I like Tevin Coleman in this spot as a solid running back, too.
Well, you got to look at Coleman. He finished last year as number 19 running back. That's running back, too. And I think, yeah, they're gonna pay Freeman. But at the same time, Coleman's still going to have a role.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that with Sarkisian there, they're going to find ways to get Coleman the ball. If he could stay healthy, which is a big if, but if he can, he can definitely be a top tier running back as a running back two wise. Just makes sense. Next up, 20, Belial Powell. What do we got?
I liked what I saw out of Powell when he was the guy for the Jets when Forte was injured. You gotta look at the last part of the season. Week 14, 34.9 fantasy points. Week 15, 27.2. Had 22.7 in week 17. This guy put up numbers. Good receiving running back. How many receptions did he have last year? 58, 74 targets. You got to expect to see the same kind of Powell. He'll probably get more rushing attempts this year, but this is still going to be a running back by committee. This Jets team is going to be terrible. They keep trying to portray that they're going to be playing tough for their coach, but they're just going to be bad. The quarterback situation there is terrible. They're going to be down a lot in football games, which means a lot of garbage time for Mr. Belial Powell and Matt Forte.
Well, and that's the wild card, right? Matt Forte. You know, where is he? Obviously, everyone wants to be high on Belial Powell. I want to be high on Belial Powell. But what's Matt Forte going to bring? Even if he only plays half of the season or three quarters of the season, he's a much better pass-catching back than Belial Powell. He's one of the best pass catching backs, you know, of his era, I would say. I don't really know how it's going to be split. Tom, to your point exactly, they're going to be down a lot. It's going to be a lot of passing downs. Their quarterback's going to be young, whoever it is. Probably a young, a no-name, or a vet that favorite checkdowns, or a tight end, and a running back. So Matt Forte could see a lot of time as well. Him and Bilal Powell, I think, will be very close in stats. 20 might be a little bit high at the end of the day, but we'll see.
We have number 19, old-ass Frank Gore. Last year, he finished number 12 overall, which is crazy to think about. He basically doesn't look like he's aging, even though he is very, very old. He only had 4 touchdown rushes last year, and that had to be a little bit upsetting for you, Tom, but at the same time, you had to be happy because you had somebody carrying the ball that could actually do it.
I like Frank Gore, but he's starting to show that he's not the most effective running back. Yeah, he had the 4 rushing touchdowns, but also added in 4 receiving touchdowns. He had 47 targets, but I'm a big-time believer in Marlon Mack. I think Marlon Mack's going to get a nice little niche for himself in that Indianapolis Colts offense. Andrew Luck is going to be fine. You people have to stop freaking out, stop listening to CBS Sports. They're full of donkey piss drinkers, so not a big-time fan
donkey,
of
donkey them. Piss drinkers.
Wow.
Andrew Luck will be fine. Marlon Mack should be owned in fantasy leagues, and Frank Gore is being underdrafted right now.
I'm a big fan of Double G, Grandpa Gore, but at some point, you know, he's going to have to finally pick up the cane and walk off the field.
He's a cockroach, man.
He can't very be well may be. I know that Tom was very surprised a couple weeks back when, you know, I said I was very high on Marlon Mack, and I truly do believe that the split is going to be very close to 50-50, more like 60-40. Gore is going to get 60 and Mack's going to get 40. The Colts have to see the writing on the wall. Gore is slowly starting to slow down.
It's
not where, you know, they have to, you know, cart him off the field yet, but you never know. At someone at his age, he's just keeps coming back. At some point, he's definitely on the wrong side of 30, might be on the wrong side of 60 at this point. I don't know. I do not like Frank Gore this year.
I'm afraid Frank Gore is going to croak on the field and wake back up as a zombie.
He is not that old.
I'm just saying, he's pretty old. Next up, we have number 18, and we go from an old-ass guy to a super young guy.
Well, let me stop you one second here, Josh. I just want to say, like, Frank Gore is really old, Tom. Like, he is super old. Like, I'm pretty sure, like,
He's 4 years older than me. Like, I don't feel like I'm that old.
But you're not playing in the National Football League. That is true. Don't say he's not that old. In football terms, he's super old. He's probably older than some of his coaches. Some of his coaches are like, yeah, I watched you growing up in high school.
Number 18, Christian McCaffrey, Carolina Panthers, rookie running back. What do we think about him?
It's really hard to rank Christian McCaffrey. Personally, I think Jonathan Stewart is going to have a role. I think he's going to be that goal line back. He's going to get a lot of 4-minute offense work when Carolina Panthers are winning. But I think McCaffrey has a chance to be a running back who catches 50 to 70 balls for the Carolina Panthers. They really haven't had anything like him in their system. They are trying to change their system and help Mr. Cameron Newton out with his completion percentage. He was absolutely horrendous last season. He was injured, though. I'm a big-time believer in the Panthers' offense this year and one Christian McCaffrey.
So before Josh goes back into the great debate about how no Carolina Panthers catch that many footballs out of the running back position, I go back and forth on Christian McCaffrey all the time. I started off by saying that, you know, he was one of my like fourth or fifth rated rookie running backs when we did the evaluations. Then I, you know, watched more and more of his film, did an in-depth breakdown of him, and saw he could actually be a between the tackles running back outside of just his ability to catch the ball. There's still something here. I don't know what it is. I call it a gut feeling. Call it whatever you want. I don't like Christian McCaffrey being a solid. If I have him as my number two running back, I'm not confident. I'm not confident going into the season. With him being a rookie, with having that veteran presence in front of him, with Greg Olsen and Cam Newton being big-time red zone threats, with the 600-pound cow Kevin Benjamin being a red zone threat, you never know what's going to happen. he very well could come out and be the guy that a lot of them are projecting he will be. But I at this point, I think Christian McCaffrey is going to be just outside of my number two.
I like Christian McCaffrey. And I as much as I talk about how he can't be an inside the running back, between the tackle running back, I lied to you, Tim. I think he can. And I can't wait to draft him. So.
For me, I could see him having 500 rushing yards, 500 receiving yards, 40 to 50 receptions, and like 5 or 6 touchdowns.
I can live with that.
That's a solid year in PPR. That's a very good year for a running back.
Next up, 17, we have Danny Woodhead.
Yes. Let's
talk about your boy.
My dude, Danny Woodhead. I absolutely love this guy. But look, Baltimore, it's been a rough offseason for this team. They've lost a lot of offensive talent. There are a ton of targets to make up for, a ton of receiving yards to be made up for, and Mr. Danny Woodhead is going to gobble those up. Last 4 seasons, Danny Woodhead has had a great year, followed by a bad year, followed by a great year, bad year. It's time for a great year again. Last 2 times he was healthy, he's had over 1,000 total yards, over 75 receptions, and 8 touchdowns. PPR stud. People are sleeping on Danny Woodhead, and the loss of Kenneth Dixon for the season for the Ravens should only be shooting up Danny Woodhead's value.
People need to understand he's still coming off of a torn ACL.
He's fine.
You can say he's fine. You cannot tell me with a straight face you believe he's going to be the same explosive player that he has been in the past.
Tim, do I have a straight face?
No, you don't.
Danny Woodhead will be better.
Nothing about you is straight. I've been telling your wife that for years, Tom.
Actually, wow. Didn't he have a broken leg?
That was back in like 2014. Oh, okay. He fractured his fibula. Last year was a torn ACL.
Danny Woodhead, he could do anything. He played college football at Shattern State. That's where me and Josh, we lived. We used to fight crime in Wyoming together.
Crime fighters.
Shattern State was in Nebraska. It was a neighbor to us. We used to hunt buffalo, hunt cowboys, and all the cow tippers. That was me and Josh's
job. You know what?
And Danny Woodhead helped us out. Shut up, Tim. It is not your time to talk. Let's move to the next guy.
Maybe what Tim you King's have done, but guess what? Just like you fat slobs now sitting here with me, that's what Danny Woodhead's going to have to do after this season, because guess what? Baltimore has no quarterback that can throw over 5 yards. They have no offensive line, and they lost their only real running back in Kenneth Dixon.
Steak dinner bet, Joe Flacco plays week 1, Tim.
I don't know enough about that situation. I'm not going to take that bet.
Coward.
A guy that's getting drafted really high coming off of retirement, number 16 on our list, Marshawn Lynch.
I hate it, personally. Oakland has come out. They have said there's going to be a pitch count on Marshawn Lynch. And I believe that personally. I think he's going to have the same role that Latavius Murray, or Layabouts Murray, as we like to call him at the Pony Keg Studio. Look, Latavius had a good year last year, finished 13th, and he was on a pitch count as well. Only 195 rushing attempts, 33 receptions.
But those touchdowns.
12. Yeah, there's a good chance Lynch could equal that number, but I think the touches will be down. I think the Raiders are going to be saving him for the playoffs, and I think DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard, and possibly my boy Elijah Hood are going to get a good amount of touches as well.
Sir, if you're telling me that you think he could equal those touchdown numbers, and you don't think he's a solid running back too?
I had him ranked as my number 17 running back. Well, that's a solid running back, too.
So you said he might have been a little bit high.
But he's being drafted 3-1 right now. Yeah. I think that's absurd.
That's crazy.
Especially in a PPR. There is no reason Marshawn Lynch should go 3-1 in a PPR league. I just don't understand it. I don't think he'll have over 20 receptions this year. I don't think he'll have over 200 total touches. He might have 10-plus touchdowns, which might lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns this year, but I don't think he's worth 3-1.
I'm sorry. If I'm able to get a solid number one running back, a solid number one wide receiver, and you're telling me that I can have a guy as my number two running back, regardless of where he's being drafted, with 10-plus touchdowns, and I'm supposed to be disappointed in that? What's the problem? I don't understand what the problem is. You're saying, yes, he's going to have 10-plus touchdowns. But what? He's going to have 10-plus touchdowns.
Well, you don't know if he's going to have 12 plus.
You don't know. The last time we saw Marshawn Lynch play a game of football, he looked terrible.
Yeah, and he was hurt.
He looked like that running back that just fell off a cliff, like we've seen numerous times before.
If you want that guy that had 12-plus touchdowns last year, take Layabouts Murray, and I'll take our number guy, 15 guy, Dalvin Cook. How's that sound?
Dalvin Cook is going to be one heck of an football player as long as he can keep his head on straight. That's my biggest concern with Dalvin Cook.
I like how we were all even keel on this one, too. We all had him at 15.
Did we really?
Yeah. Which is pretty crazy.
Wow.
So we ranked our top 40 running backs. We all had Mr. Cook at the same spot.
That is pretty interesting. I think it's a safe bet, right? I mean, he has the opportunity, especially with layabouts. Going to be starting the season on the pup list, it looks like. He's going to have every opportunity in the world. Anyone who thinks that Jerick McKinnon is going to take touches from him, I know, Josh, you mentioned some people were talking about that.
Fuck Jerick McKinnon. I'm
actually a Jerick McKinnon fan. He won me a steak dinner bet over Josh. Oh, you want to talk about that, Josh? No? Okay, maybe another episode. Today. Regardless, Dalvin Cook is going to have all the opportunity in the world. I actually had him at the start of our all of our breakdowns of tape as my number two running back behind Leonard Fournette. I still think he's there as long as he keeps his character issues in check. Talent-wise, he's there. He really is there. He has every opportunity in the world to be a number one, three-down running back in this league.
What's important for PPR, the Vikings, 75 receptions for running backs last year. Sam Bradford is captain check down. Him and Alex Smith compete for that every year. Cook's going to get his receptions this year. Extremely important for running backs and PPR.
Number 14, we have, in my opinion, I like to call him Mr. Vanilla. Lamar Miller, he's kind of just there. There's nothing special about him. It's just bleh.
Yeah, personally, not a huge fan of the offense in Houston. And last year, Lamar Miller, that was the most touches he's ever had, and he had one of his worst seasons. So I would like to see his touches go down. I'd like to see Foreman to get some of those touches, keep Miller a little fresher, you know, but we'll see. They don't have the greatest offensive line in Houston. Teams are going to key in on the run, which is always going to make his job more difficult.
We'll see if Foreman can keep his weed and gun game in check. I know it wasn't him. Calm down, yeah, Tom.
I'm kidding.
Calm down. I couldn't agree with Josh more. He's the vegetable lasagna of the NFL. He's just kind of there. Never lived up to the hype, ever. And I've always been a huge Lamar Miller fan. But, you know, he's going to be right there. He's going to be that, you know, start of the second running back two tier.
I just think he's going to be better off having another running back. And it's funny to think about. Normally, if you're a number one running back, you don't want a lot of competition. But I think he's better with competition. Yep. I think he's one of those guys.
Look at his numbers in Miami.
Yeah. Next up, number 13, Isaiah Crowell, a Browns player this high on our list. Are we crazy for it? Because I don't think so.
Absolutely, we are not. Isaiah Crowell is, Tom has his guys. Isaiah Crowell is one of my guys. I know you guys are also high on him, but I really think that Isaiah Crowell will have an opportunity to be a top 10 running back this year. He is that hard. It's the way he runs. You watch him. I know it's a weird thing to say. Josh and I always felt this way about Jay Ajayi. When Jay Ajayi first came into the league, the way he runs, the way he hits the hole, the way he makes his cuts, he is one of those hard-nosed, grind-out running backs. People like to sleep on him because he plays for Cleveland because, I mean, really, who likes to cheer for people on the Cleveland Browns? With the Cincinnati Bengals, in my opinion, going to have a down year, with the Pittsburgh Steelers a little bit in flux with where they're headed in the future. The Baltimore Ravens still have, obviously, a fantastic defense. But the Steelers, you know, this might be the end of an era for them. They're slowly trying. They're having a little bit of turnover in their own right. Isaiah Crowell, he's going to have the opportunity all year long. Duke Johnson's going to be more of a wide receiver than an actual running back. And I expect Isaiah Crowell to have 20 to 25 touches every single game. And that opportunity alone is a reason to make him your first option for a running back number two.
Yep, for me, I expect Crowell to have more touches than he did last season. He had under 200 carries. That's going to go up. His offensive line is going to be approaching that near elite level, invested a ton of money in it, and he does do a good job at catching the football. He will play second fiddle to Duke Johnson in that department for the Browns, but he's going to get his in the reception.
Number 12, Leonard Fournette.
I'm a little nervous about LF7. What's he going to be, number 17 now, or 27 he'll be. That offensive line lost their starting left tackle to retirement. They're going to want to run the football, though, for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Doug Marrone, he recently said if he could, he would have Blake Bortles throw the ball zero times. Fournette is going to get over 300 rushing attempts this year. You're hearing it here first. He will come close to double-digit touchdowns. He deserves to be picked in the second round.
You know, I mean, he...
The end of the second.
The end of the second. Yeah, I mean, he's a very good running back one option if you have that star wide receiver. You know, if I get someone like a Jordy Nelson or a Antonio Brown up front, and then my first running back, his best choice available is Leonard Fournette, I'd feel pretty confident with it. My only concern is, you know, like you said, they're definitely going to run him into the ground. I mean, that's the game plan. Run him into the ground and hope for the best. Regardless, he's gonna get the red zone opportunity.
Number 11, we have Chicago Bear Jordan Howard. Tim, how excited are you for one Jordan Howard?
As you know, Joshua, not very excited at all.
Oh, I bet that's a lie.
No, I like Jordan Howard. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he comes out this year and he has, you know, 1,400 yards rushing and has 15 touchdowns. I just don't see it happening.
I wanted to put him a lot lower on my list, but I just
lower isn't better or worse.
It isn't worse, but I just felt I couldn't. That offensive line finished number 5 last year, and you still have some question marks on the tackles, but that the three in the middle are just so dominant.
Yep, and listen, they're going to have to. That's the Bears' only opportunity to win football games this season is to hope that their defense is who they want them to be and then keep their defense off the field for a while with a running game in Jordan Howard. It's the only opportunity they have.
Next up, number 10, Todd Gurley.
Gurley might have been one of the biggest busts for the fantasy season last year. A lot of people were taking him in the top 3 and as running back number 1. The season really couldn't go any worse for Mr. Todd Gurley. But he's going from a middle school offense to a pro-level boy genius offense for Sean McVay. Sean McVay is a offensive genius. He's a young guy, and he's going to get ready to use Todd Gurley early and often. If he stays healthy, he's going to probably equal as many touches as he had last season, but be way more productive.
Next up,
oh boy,
the great Joe Mixon. Yeah. Very high on our list. Should have been higher. Oh. I had him number 5 on our list. And call me crazy. Call me crazy, guys.
I love it, though.
It is what it is. I am just I'm a believer. We were believers last year in Ezekiel Elliott. We had him in our, I think, top 7, right?
No, he was higher.
Even higher than that.
It was 4.
So with that being said, I just am a believer in Joe Mixon. I'm a believer that he is going to be the guy. And it's funny. You look at some of those Bengals players. You have Giovanni Bernard there. You have Jeremy Hill there. Jeremy Hill scored a lot of touchdowns. And it's tough to say they're just going to go away from a guy that scored all those touchdowns. But you know what? Screw Jeremy Hill. Joe Mixon is going to get all the touches and all those touchdowns. And he's going to be the guy. And that's why he was number 5 on my list. Number 9 on this bullshit list.
It still amazes me that Mixon isn't the highest ranked rookie on everyone's draft boards right now for fantasy. I understand he was drafted in the second round of the NFL draft, running back 4 off the board. But when you compare him to every other rookie running back in this draft class, he is by far the best running back. Just watch the film, people. Very similar running style to Lev Bell, extremely patient. He could turn on the Jets when he needs to, but he'll be a receiving threat as well. He could be a starting slot receiver just like Le'Veon Bell. And I am sick and tired of hearing these Jeremy Hill people out there. But, oh, Jeremy Hill is on the Cincinnati Bengals too. He's going to score a bunch of touchdowns. Bullshit. It is not going to happen. This is fucking Joe Mixon's backfield. Go get his jersey. He's going to be a top 5 running back this year.
So, gentlemen, I will confess. I'll raise my hand. I am the reason why Joe Mixon is as low as he is. I had him at number 14, which is not a terrible position.
Yeah, it's still high
for him. I only had him behind one Leonard Fournette. My only issue here is it's not – I agree with you guys completely. Joe Mixon is a fantastic running back. Physical beast. I don't care where he was drafted. My issue is the Cincinnati Bengals as a team and their losses on the offensive line. You cannot tell me that losing both Andrew Whitworth and Kevin Zeter is going to mean nothing to the running game.
Those are great points, Tim. Yeah. Very, very valid points, and I agree with you, hands down. But they still have a guy there that has been in the system.
I got a guy, don't worry.
He's been in the system. He's been in the system, and he played a little bit last year. And he's not going to be the perfect replacement, but he's going to be suitable. And if you have a healthy A.J. Green, a healthy Tyler Eifert, a healthy Ross, then, and only then, you're going to see great things out of Joe
Mixon. And if hell freezes over, it'd be fantastic. And if it starts raining candy, my kids will be freaking thrilled. But guess what, Josh? That's probably not going to happen. The fact is, I do believe that Joe Mixon's going to have a fantastic year. It's just not going to be that Ezekiel Elliott year. He's not walking into the best offensive line in the NFL. Is this going to be his show? You're goddamn right it is. But is he going to have that number one MVP caliber season?
Yep.
Absolutely not.
There's no way he should be being taken 60th overall. No. People are absolutely nuts. He should be... I am taking him in the third round every draft I am in. And I'm probably going to win every draft because I'm getting a top 5, top 10 running back in Joe Mixon. People laugh at me. And I just wish I could fucking slap him.
Wow. We got a couple more minutes before we hit our first commercial break. And we got our top 8 here. So you can't really go wrong with this top 8. We're going to go DeMarco Murray, number 8, LeSean McCoy, number 7, Devonta Freeman, number 6.
Freeman, 127 receptions the last two seasons for the Atlanta Falcons. New offensive coordinator, brought it up earlier with Tevin Coleman, likes to use the running backs receiving the football. Freeman's in line for 50-plus catches yet again.
Honestly, to me, these running backs, you can go, you can put their name on a ping pong ball, throw them in a little turnabout, and whoever comes up, it is what it is. I'm not thrilled with any of these running backs.
Me neither.
To be honest with you. Devonta Freeman is probably the one, well, it's not probably, that's why he's ranked 6. That's exactly where I had him. I had him at 5. That's why I had him up that high, because he's the best opportunity to be successful. But you never know what you're going to get after a guy gets paid, and it's sounding like he's definitely going to get paid before the season starts. After that, LeSean McCoy, obviously you don't know where he's at age and health-wise. And DeMarco Murray, I mean, you got a guy there in Derrick Henry. DeMarco Murray, we've talked about it in past episodes, but DeMarco Murray is the type of guy with where he is in his contract that they're going to have to see what they have in Derrick Henry to know if these are the two guys that they want, or if they're going back or going after someone in the 2018 NFL draft that is stacked in running backs, an even better running back class than this year, which we talked about in previous episodes. So to me, if I have to take one of these guys, I'm literally just pulling a name out of a hat, because you have the same odds with any guy.
Rounding out the tier 2 that I would consider, you know, yep, group of guys, you have Melvin Gordon at 4 and Jay Ajayi at 5. Me, personally, I'd put Melvin Gordon, Jay Ajayi, Freeman, McCoy, Murray, all in that big grouping, yep, right there. You can't really go wrong, and you kind of have to just draft whoever you feel comfortable with. We have Jay Ajayi at 5, Melvin Gordon at 4. I think that's right. Fully so. I think Melvin Gordon had such a good year last year that he proved that he should belong in the top 4 for fantasy running backs.
For me, I'm a big time Jay Ajayi fan. There's a lot of people out there who are hating on him, thinking he should be drafted late in the second round, but I think he deserves to be taken late in the first round, early second. He's a very good running back, and you look at the numbers that he was able to put up when his offensive line was healthy. He had only 4 games with that starting 5 from week 1, but he averaged 24 carries, 152 yards, and a touchdown in each one of those games. Had 3 games over 200 yards on the season, which is absolutely insane, showing you the type of running back he is. And Adam Gase knows how to produce good running backs. I'm a big-time Jay Ajayi believer this year.
I'm a big-time Jay Ajayi fan as well. You know, I still have my concerns there, but I believe that he's going to be able to. I'm hoping Gase finds a way to implement Kenyon Drake into the game as well, because I feel like having that 2 running back system will actually help Jay Ajayi. You know, we talked about it a little bit earlier. I guess my bigger question is with Melvin Gordon. I don't really know what to think about. I'll admit when I was wrong. I was wrong on Melvin Gordon last year. I did not think that he was going to come out and have that season.
Not me.
Yeah, okay. We're proud of you, champ. but I did not think he was going to come out and have that season. He did. Now, to me, the question is, bad rookie season, great sophomore year, but take into consideration, there were no options there. It was him and Tyrell Williams. That was it. So, what does he do now when Keenan Allen's back? Now, you know, having a Travis Benjamin there, again, you know, having all these guys there that can be actual scoring threats, how is Melvin Gore, is he that actual three-down running back? Again, it just proves in the fantasy aspect, outside of the top three, it's kind of a crapshoot. So, we'll see.
I just think with Danny Woodhead gone, it's just going to open up a lot. He had 41 receptions last year, Melvin Gordon-wise, and yeah, we know that Danny Woodhead only played in the first two games, but still, I think with him being gone, we're going to see a lot of Melvin Gordon, and it's going to be exciting. Plus, you got to look at it. Mike Williams is not going to be playing, most likely. So that is going to open up still some passing opportunities, receptions-wise, for Melvin Gordon.
But those little over 40 receptions he had last year, like you said, Woodhead was only there the first two games.
Yeah, I know.
With Keenan Allen out last year, you can't tell me that that number is going to go up. I'm not buying that. That's the one I'm not.
So what would you put the over-under for his receptions? 35? Is that
30? You read my mind, you beautiful son of a bitch. Yes, 35.
That's fair, I think. I think that's pretty understandable.
So if that goes down, I mean, red zone threats, you can't tell me Keenan Allen's not going to take away some of those red zone threats.
Let's talk about our top three. Let's do it. We got
everyone's top three.
So let's see. Tom, your top three, Ezekiel Elliott, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell. Tim, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott. Mine was the same way. I wanted to flip-flop Bell and Elliott. I ended up keeping it how I had it. It's just tough for me to put Ezekiel Elliott above Bell with him possibly being suspended one or two games. We've seen Le'Veon Bell be suspended for multiple games and still have a very productive season. It's just I didn't want to do it. That's just where I was.
Yeah, right now Zeke is not suspended, so I'm ranking him like he is not suspended. But last year, I think he was freaking amazing as a rookie. I think he's only going to get better as a player, and I think he's going to catch more footballs than the 32 that he had last year. They're losing a Lance Dunbar. And I could see his reception total getting closer to 50, which would put him in that elite category with David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell. But he's going to be a touchdown machine for Dallas, and that offense runs through him.
I learned my lesson last year. I had Le'Veon Bell as my number one running back going into the season, even though I knew he was probably going to get suspended. That's the only reason why I had Zeke down to three this year. He's still one of the very best running backs in the league, but let's call a spade a spade. He's getting suspended. Regardless, it's going to be two games,
steak
one
dinner
game.
Bet.
I'm not going to do it. I know, you know, we talked about another episode. Jerry Jones said that he had Robert Kraft at his behind him, that if he does get suspended, he's going to fight it to the death, whatever. That's fine. That's all good and well. I just don't trust his judgment, and you might not call it that. You might call it all fun and games, Tom, but I call them character issues. Whipping out a titty on St. Patrick's Day, while it's all fun and games, something we all love to see, there has to be. Listen, if you or I whipped out a girl's titty on St. Patrick's Day, we get a little bit more than suspended for two football games, okay? There's something there. I'm sorry. Something's not right there. And something that scares me. Beyond, you know, add in some of the other things that we've heard about Zeke. That's why he's at three. Because I don't have confidence that he's going to play a full season.
He just likes to have fun, bro. That's all. It is what it is. Honestly, I think our top 40 is very good. Joe Mixon was a little bit of a reach with me putting him at five. But I think he's got the potential to do it.
We're believers.
Yeah. So, whatever, Tim. All right, everybody, that's everything that we have for you today. Hope you enjoyed. Again, that was our running back positional breakdown. So until next time, we'll see you guys. We are Pony Cake Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tom, at Pony Cake Tim. Email us, ponycakesports@gmail.com. Hit us up on our website, ponycakesports.com. Check out our buddies on their website, cleatgeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter, at cleatgeeks. Let them know we are the ones that sent you. And until next time, check out our wide receiver rankings that are coming up very shortly. Thank you very much. See you.